Hi, this is Dan Moxon.
And this is Jason Dana from Ben Sinister, and you're checking out The Grind
with Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com.
Hey, this is Bob from Flogging Molly, and you're tuned into The Grind on punkradiocast.com.
Flogging Molly coming up in the second hour of the show. We have an interview. In fact, it's our first interview that I think we've ever done with a mandolin and a banjo player in a band here on The Grind. This is, of course, The Grind, Volume 63. Welcome to the show. As you heard off the top, also have an interview with Vancouver-based Bend Sinister. Our Calgary correspondent, Stacey Steele, brings that to us. And we have a couple from the Mailbox bands as well. Plus, we're going to spin some other songs just for the hell of it, because it's good stuff, and I think you'll like it. Up first, let's get into a track coming off of a brand new release entitled Betrayer's Brew. This is Stockholm's The Judas Bunch with Our Way.
We'll be right back.
Scottish-Canadian band The Lions with Rock and Rolla, and that's coming off of their 2009 Live, Love, Laugh album that was released earlier this year. And before that, we heard a quick track from the Judas Bunch. Now stay tuned following the Bend Sinister interview, and we'll have some more stuff off of the Judas Bunch's brand new release, Betrayer's Brew, as well as another great From the Mailbox band for you to check out. Now the next song up on the grind is by a Calgary band who had a CD release back in the middle of September, and at that CD release show, the Lions played as well. This is the Nix Dixons with King of Connecticut.
Wake up in the only room I ever knew. This room is moving, this mood is moving me. Sit down on the couch in the living room. This room is singing, and then she looks at me. And I need it, and I want it, but I don't know if you know what you want me to say. Can you see it, that I need it? Are you here, really here, or have you just gone away? This boy's gotta play. My bags pick me up, and then I'm gone. The mood is moving as she looks at me. Step right in, sit right down is what they say to me. My room is moving, it's always moving me. And I need it, and I want it, but I don't know if you know what you want me to say. Can you see it, that I need it? Are you here? Just gone away. This boy's gotta play.
Up next, let's spin some Devil Dolls Rock and Roll Street Gang. This is a song coming off of an album that will be released in the new year. This is New Revolution, the Devil Dolls Rock and Roll Street Gang, right here on The Grind, volume 63.
Yeah. Ready, 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 ready
A double shot of the Devil Dolls Rock and Roll Street Gang for you right there. That was Radio London, also coming off of that new disc that will be out in the next year. Now, originally this release, Anthems of the Lost and Forgotten, was supposed to be out earlier this year on Not Your Radio Records, but it turns out the label got a little busy. They ended up signing Strawberry Blondes. Those guys, of course, on the road right now with Street Dogs and Civette in Europe. In the meantime, I encourage you guys to go to myspace.com/thedevildollsrockandrollstreetgang, and you can hear some more of their tunes and keep tabs on when that new album is going to be coming your way. Well, I think it's about time that we get into our first interview here on the show. Let's start it off with a song coming off of a 2007 EP release. This is Bent Sinister with Yours Truly on The Grind.
Out The Grind on Punk Radio Cast. This is Stacey Steele, and I'm in Calgary hanging out with Ben Sinister at Broken City. How's it going this evening?
Excellent.
It's going great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You guys have been on tour a little bit?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a shorter tour, but we just went as far as Winnipeg into kind of Western Canada.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 weeks.
Are you heading westward still from here? Or east?
We already were out east, and now we're coming back. We're playing a bunch of shows with the band Young Galaxy.
Oh, yeah?
So we're heading back to Vancouver and to the island and playing around and BC with them, ending in Edmonton, I believe, on the 30th.
Okay. How's it been? A lot of fun this time?
Yeah, I mean, we had a few shows. It's always like when you're playing over a Sunday and a Monday night, it's a challenge to bring people out, so those nights weren't as great as the rest, but we had some pretty solid shows on the way out, and it's been been fun.
It's been good. It's been fun. Good turnouts?
For the most part.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like Dan said, though, Sundays and Mondays, kind of hard.
Right.
Kind of hard to bring people out unless it's people that have specifically heard of your band and actually like you and actually make the effort to come out. But it's.
But even then, on a Sunday, I don't know,
yeah.
For me, I never go out on Sundays or Mondays or early in the week, and so you can understand why, you know, the bars are a little less packed on those nights.
Compared to Thursday to Saturday kind of thing.
Exactly.
Definitely. So for those not familiar with Ben Sinister, could you tell us just a little bit about your history, where the name came from, and how your band got to where it is today?
Sure. Well, the band was started by myself, Dan Moxon, about 10 years ago with some friends in high school jazz band. And at that time, we decided to call it Ben Sinister after the Vladimir Nabokov novel that our guitar player was reading.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, there's been several lineup changes, and we toured Canada about, I don't know, about 6 or 7 times now. We've been trying to get into Europe and the States and see if, you know, kind of diversify. But now I'm joined by drummer Jason Dana here, who's been in the band for about 3 years, and Joseph Flood on guitar, Henry Alcock White on guitar, and Joel Myers on bass. It's probably the best lineup it's ever been.
That's awesome. Nice and strong. Because your name is based on the Nabokov novel, have you guys ever pursued any writing outside of writing songs? Has these literary influences been involved in the songwriting process? I dug deep to find really good questions today.
Well, you know, the real person that was a writer in the band was our old guitar player in the band, Ruthem, who named the band Ben Sinister back in the day, and so he actually quit the band to pursue writing and writing fiction and doing publishing and things like that. And so with him, that kind of aspect died. I don't think I write anything beyond songs because I'm more of a melody man than a lyricist. But
than a broken-hearted poet.
Yeah.
How much of the songwriting is collaborative and how much is done individually, or do you just do the whole thing?
Well, you always just bring ideas to the table and then they kind of take shape when the band...
Just feed on the ideas off each other?
Brings, you know, I have pretty set, you know, the chords and melodies and structures and things, but then when people bring their own guitar parts or drum parts or whatever, it's what shapes the song, I guess.
Sorry. I concur.
I just agree. D all the above. You guys have a song titled Through the Broken City, and we are at Broken City tonight in Calgary. Was this possibly the place that inspired the writing of the song, and how did the evolution of the song come about if it wasn't?
Well, Through the Broken City was the title of our first record, and when I actually had written that song and that title, I'd never even been to Broken City,
no?
So I remember on our first tour, when we were touring that record in 2005, and we came and played Broken City, it was such a laugh, because it was like, I've used that joke probably about 4 times in Calgary, saying like, so we're just coming through the Broken City, here we go, bust into the song.
Do you always play here when you're in Calgary?
We've played here about, I'd say about 4 times. Last time through, we were at, it was First Sled Island, so we were at, I think it was called Darcy's or Darby's Pub, which was with the Dickens Pub with the Monotonics.
Oh,
and,
so good.
And we were around, I don't know, we've done the Hi-Fi Room a few times. It's been, but I really like Broken City. When it's packed in here, it's just one of the best places to play.
It's pretty cool. It's one of my favorite places to go. Canadian music scene is pretty fertile. Does this inspire you on to be surrounded by so many great artists and singers and bands?
Absolutely. You know, it's great that you can actually, you know, sift through your MP3 collection or your iPod and find so many great bands that are Canadian that you're listening to, you know, and
what are you guys listening to right now?
This tour, I've downloaded like the new Islands record that I've been listening to a bit. This band called Dr. Dog, which I'm a huge fan of. We tried to listen to that new Muse record too, but that was a little too radio produced, because we heard, you know, I heard some sort of offbeat review that they were the next Queen and this epic orchestral amazing, you know, band. But then I was a little, because I've always aspired to Freddie Mercury's kind of
Fool's Gold.
But that's what it was.
Fool's Gold
was the other
great record.
But yeah, I don't know. Muse is all right, but it's by no means the next Queen.
No.
I might have to agree with that. I read recently you guys got the opportunity to take part in a 1-week training program that was designed to key aspects of your band's development and provided invaluable training in the areas of songwriting, marketing, and promotion. How did that go for you? How's it been going so far?
It's still a contest that we're in actually right now, and the first part of it was this week-long seminar, and I think it's a completely invaluable resource for people who are starting out and people.
It's like
it's basically like getting the same experience as spending 5 years on the road, which we've already done, you know, more than, 10 years, like, at this point. But so some of it was knowledge that we already knew, but it was good to have a refresher. But I could see it just being amazingly helpful for a band that's starting out and, you know, just about to go on the road and learn how to, you know, advance your shows and how to apply your set list with SoCan and how to get Factor marketing grants and how, you know, just all the resources available for artists. But
where would artists find this if they weren't involved in a radio station competition? Like, if a band really wanted
if
to
you,
look for that?
I would just, you know, it sounds silly, but Google, man. Just go
Google.
Type in, I'm a Canadian band and I need money. You'll probably find a bunch of pages of people saying stuff. But on that note, I mean, the biggest thing, like, we're one of the 20 bands that's in the contest, and and it's for $150,000 is the grant that's at stake, which is would be huge for any band. Mm-hmm. So what we've been doing, if we can direct, I don't know, a bit of a plug, but direct people to our new website is at bensinisterband.com. Mm-hmm. And we're offering like 10 free songs from all our records online. And we're just trying to get people
to vote for us
as well in the contest. But we're kind of saying, well, you know, if you like the 10 songs, we're going to, you know, you have to kind of, all you have to do is put in your email address. And we're just going to send one message like right before the voting closes, which is December, and just say, hey, if you like the songs, maybe throw a vote to us and help show some support.
At the end of the year is when it's closing?
Yeah, the voting's over December, and then they make those decisions in January or something like that.
Well, we'll definitely keep our ears open for that.
Mm-hmm.
Why should people listen to your band?
I think because it is unique and refreshingly different than a lot of the stuff you're going to be listening to. And, you know, it's based on really
real,
like,
musicians, real recordings. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not... it's not phony. We can play it.
No voice synthing going on.
No, nothing like that. Like, you know, like, the songs are, you know, a lot of them are their takes. They're not edits like, oh, we're going to piece it all together after the fact.
And the funny, I always find the funny thing when we tour with other bands, we're a band that, you know, basically you plug in your guitar or your keyboard to your amp, and your vocals are, you know, there's never, it's not a single pedal or a single anything. It's just all pretty raw based on just melody and nice, you know, like...
We're not a slave to technology, really.
Yeah.
Plug it in, turn it up.
I don't think anybody even has any sort of technology that's past 1980. Everything's vintage.
If you could change anything about the music industry today, what would it be?
That's a good one. I would definitely try... I would try to format some new sort of way that... The whole process is that you give away your music for free, but there's some sort of... I don't know, you know...
The music's free, the merch is for sale.
Yeah, or there's... You know, they've been talking about this thing where when people download off the internet, there's this a kind of a levy, and when they can tell whether your stuff is being downloaded, and then you get it like you would when your stuff gets played in a bar, and SoCan gives you some money for that, like some sort of levy where, like, because I fully support people downloading stuff for free if you can get it and listening to it. I don't think that's killing the music industry, but I think those same people, if you're gonna download it for free, should then make extra effort to come to the shows and really support the artists when they come through town, you know?
Yeah.
So.
What can people expect at a Ben Sinister show, and have your shows changed over the years since you started?
High energy.
It's always really high energy. We're, you know, I'm probably one of the few insanely head-banging keyboard players. I don't know if many keyboard players...
Not so many.
...just go hard, but it's definitely just a kind of a very high-energy set. It's very loud, and it always leaves you with a smile on your face, I think.
Lots of energy?
Lots of energy,
nice.
Yeah.
Someone can only take one message from Ben Sinister. What would it be?
Vote for us.
No, it would be go get 10 free songs at our website, bensinisterband.com, because you should get it for free and tell all your friends.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you guys tell us a crazy fun tour story? We always like to include these in some of our interviews, something really interesting that's happened, or any crazy celebrity sightings.
That's a good story where I shamed myself.
Brandon?
What?
What did you do in Brandon? I forget.
Remember, we were leaving in the morning, and I woke, you know, it was wake up in the morning on your bed, shoes and clothes, everything on, face down, extremely hungover. I had one of those large Arizona iced teas beside me, and I drank the whole thing, went and had a shower, and then was walking down the hall to go and meet up with the rest of them, and started sweating. I was like, oh my god. Next thing you know, it just went everywhere in front of two maids that were cleaning rooms, and they just looked at me and gave me the stink eye, and I turned around and went and cleaned myself up and did my walk of shame again.
I thought I was going to mention something more PC, like that of deer that stopped
that
in the middle of the road, and we had to stop, and they just all stared at the car.
Well, yeah, no, we were driving up, and they were off the side of the road,
and
but as soon as we got close, they went onto the road, and then just
all
stood there.
Stopped and stared, like deer in the headlights. See, that expression I never actually thought was because they're fascinated by your headlights and just won't let you drive past the road. You know, they just all stop and stare at you and, like, tell you that.
Eventually
close.
Came to a stop, and we honked, and that what made them scooch off.
Yeah, go.
Yeah. But that's a little more PG than vomiting all over the...
It is a punk rock show, right?
Yeah.
You can say that stuff. It's all right.
You can say whatever you want.
Right on.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to get out there to the fans? new and old existing fans?
Just keep listening, man. There's going to be a lot more songs to come.
Another album in the works next year?
Absolutely.
Next year. That's awesome. Well, thank you for meeting with us tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
From their 2008 release, Stories of Brothers and Tales of Lovers, that was Ben Sinister wrapping up their interview segment with The Same Things. Well, we're going to get into the From the Mailbox segment here now on the show. Just a couple artists in this installment. First up, we played a track by these guys earlier in the show. We are talking about the Judas Bunch. They are actually a Swedish-Argentinian punk rock band that are based in Stockholm. If you're looking to grab your kicks from long guitar solos and experimental sound effects, you might want to look elsewhere. Their super new album that was released just a couple weeks ago, Betrayer's Brew, consists of 7 punk songs with just a little bit of country and folk. Right now, let's hear some tracks off that. This is Breaking Me, the Judas Bunch, on the Grinds from the Mailbox.
When my hands are shaking, my mind is aching, I hate it, but you get me through. It's really hard to say it's sad, but I know you will stay. I hate it, but you get me through. Breaking me! Through. You're my
Following Breaking Me, we heard another Judas Bunch song called Stand Up, also coming off that brand new release. If you'd like to visit this five-piece band online, hit up myspace.com/thejudasbunch. Let's hear one more from them on the show today. This next track is also on their release, but it appears as a bonus track, as it was recorded previously to any of the other material. This is the Judas Bunch, Fuck the Police.
This is the party, this is the main event. Everyone is wasted, everyone is pulling the same moves again. And I'm watching, yeah, I really love watching you dance. I don't wanna be the creep, I wanna be the better man. So I stand here, yeah, with the same old drink in my hands, spitting a conversation that isn't going the way I would plan. I can't tell you about my beautiful mother or the great history of my dad. I got real things to say, but you're not ready for them. So we carry on laughing. Oh yeah, we carry on the same. We get stuck in traps and all those clever things that we say. They don't need to have content. No, they're the pop songs of our day. And we'll just keep on singing the same silly phrase. Oh yeah, everyone is having a good time. Everyone is probably gonna get laid. And after all of this is over, all of this is over, I still got something to say. Ha ha ha!
This is the silence.
That's where words become undressed. Oh, this is a new communication. And counting the beats between every breath. I'm talking like a broken record. Or a seventh grade crushing cassette. Oh, it's not gonna last forever. But it's better than anything else I've found yet. This is the empty bottle ashtray. Overflowing next to old soup cans. This is the last check left on the table. From when all that shit hit the fan. Oh, we are still good friends. We're still that unit that depends on good people making it work. Oh, we're not the shit disturbers. We're not the herd.
And another bonus track there coming off of the CD from our next From the Mailbox band, a band called Jenny from Calgary, Alberta. They have an EP out called Leaving Nothing, and we're playing a few tracks off of that disc today. That was the bonus track. This one finds its place just shortly before the halfway mark on the album. This is Jenny with Red Wine Stain.
Supper!
can't wash me out.
Red Wine Stain, that was Jenny. Find them online, myspace.com/JennyBand. Now these guys have a lot of shows coming up in November in Western Canada region. They kick it all off with a show November 21st at the Palomino down in Calgary. Great club there. It's actually their CD release party. So if you're in the area and you like what you hear, check them out. Otherwise, find them online, drop them a note, let them know what you think. This next song, every time I listen to it, the lyrics are the part that stands out a lot to me. See what you guys think. This is Jenny, one last track from them, One Big Cake, on The Grind, volume 63.
Your ideas are not your own, they're the books you're made to read. They are stories you've been told, every word is preconceived. You are being manufactured, oh, just the same as me. We might be different models from the same big company. So we market to each other, we all find our own place. We're 6 billion hungry people all eating one big cake. It's okay to fail and fall away, you're part of the machine. Then it will be for your children. And I think I know, in fact I'm sure, this is the only place that I want to rest in the whole wide world. Well, all the pretty models, just 6 or 17, have their eyes so full of stars from all the fake photoshopping. Yeah, my sister keeps the pictures on the wall by where she sleeps. It's a reminder that some beauty is only made up on a screen. And they're taking all the pills that the drugstores have to sell. You're not you, you're just chemicals, a sort of pretty shell, with nothing left inside except an empty room that tells of all the pain that you will never feel from all of that Advil. And I think I know, in fact I'm sure, this is the only place that I want to rest in the whole wide world. Our family values changing, divorce is a disease. We flip through our relationships like channels on TV. Our attention span is all a sham, we all have ADD. Each person we encounter just has friends we want to meet. So we climb the social ladder, praying we don't fall down. Live for nicer restaurants in the nicer parts of town. But the most beautiful you ever were was with your hair let down. No silly colored makeup, no expensive evening gown. And I think I know, in fact I'm sure, this is the only place that I want to rest in the whole wide world. So I'm looking for a real idea, not just a pretty face. But darling, you are both, you will be beautiful when you're gray. Oh, old and slow, our bodies grow each and every day. But I see you getting wiser and happier with age. So I'll keep on drinking red wine, some things will never change. Although everybody dies someday, your smile will remain. And when we go, our friends will know, and our families, they will say, there was a happy way to live, maybe that way could work for me. And I think I know, in fact I'm sure, this is the only place that I want to rest in the whole wide world. I said I think I know, in fact I'm sure, this is the only place that I want to rest.
Wrapping up the From the Mailbox edition in today's show, Jenny with One Big Cake. Now, it is the 30th of October, which means that tomorrow night, Saturday night, is All Hallows Eve. So quite likely, some of you are listening to the show and perhaps carving a pumpkin, maybe working on some costumes, or maybe just getting the house ready to scare little kids when they come by and try to get some candy from you. Well, I will let you in on what The Grind is going to be doing this Halloween. In Calgary, we've got our Calgary correspondent, Miss Stacy Steele. You heard her interview with Ben Sinister earlier in the show. She will be catching up with a little band called Propagandhi. They will be playing Mack Hall in Calgary on the 31st, And we will have an interview for you, maybe not next week. Maybe we might play that the following week, because in Edmonton, personally, I will be at the New City checking out the Creepshow and partying along with them with the Dreadnoughts and the Hypnophonics, coming from Vancouver and Montreal, respectively. Great bands. It's going to be a great night. I mean, Creepshow on Halloween. You can't go wrong. Either way, we are not quite in the Halloween spirit yet here on the Grind. In fact, I'm going to tell you, you should grab a pint. Maybe a pint of a nice stout beer like a Guinness or something like that. And yeah, get yourselves ready, because we are going a little bit Irish here for you in this last interview in the show. Of course, Flogging Molly, the one and only. We have an interview with Bob Schmidt, the mandolinist and banjo player within the group. Flogging Molly just wrapping up their Canadian stretch of their tour, playing in Vancouver last night and I believe tonight as well. We caught up with them in Saskatoon last Sunday. But first, let's hear one track from Flogging Molly. This is off of their most recent 2008 release, Float, and it's called Requiem for a Dying Song. Requiem for a dying song. Hey, welcome back to The Grind, volume 63 on punkradiocast.com. We're here in Saskatoon tonight with Bob from the Flogging Molly crew. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad. We just drove a little while, so we're shaking the cobwebs out and trying to get going here. How has the Canadian tour been for you so far?
So far, it's been great. We just, we've gotten to a lot of cities we've never been able to come out to before, so it's been a real, you know, a lot of these fans have been waiting 4 or 5 years to have us up here, so it's been really fun.
Now, I have to ask, how was the drive from Thunder Bay to Winnipeg?
I slept the whole way, so.
That's the way to do it,
I think it's the only way to do it.
And how was the turnout in Thunder Bay?
It was great, actually.
It was one of those places you hadn't played before?
Yeah, and we played, in Thunder Bay we played, I'm trying to think what the name of the place was. I'll get back to that.
But anyway, but a good turnout?
Yeah, a really good turnout. Surprisingly good, because a lot of these cities, too, we have no experience of like how big a town is or anything like that. And Thunder Bay's not. Oh, it was at the university.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was great. We played the kind of cafeteria area. It was kind of a funny show, but the crowd was fantastic, so.
You played Warped Tour earlier this year, did a West Coast as well. Mm-hmm. How has that been? Have you had a chance to have enough downtime to get back to where you need to be mentally before you continue your troubadour tour around the world?
Yeah, it's this year's actually been pretty good because we worked so hard last year. It kind of opened a lot of doors for us and allowed us to enjoy a little bit of a success that we hadn't seen before. So it has allowed us this year to kind of ramp it back a little bit and be able to kind of pick and choose what we're doing a little bit more selectively, and you know, allows us this stuff like having the time to do this Canadian tour. And it's been a lot easier to have our batteries charged. And, you know, we're only out for 2.5 weeks here and there, and then we're still doing a lot of little little tours, but they're just not, you know, 5 week little tours. So.
Now, your most recent album, Float, came out last year. That was recorded in Ireland. Do you think that, looking back on that now, if you were to record that elsewhere, would that have the same feel of that album has now?
No, I think it was definitely... I mean, in a lot of ways, a lot of people say it's like our least Irish-sounding album, but I think in that way that is... In that really, you know, like easy way, it's the least sounding Irish album. But I mean, if you put it up against stuff like Van Morrison or the Waterboys or bands like that, I think it's, you know, it has that same indefinable Irish quality to it. But we don't have to rely so much, I think, on the like kind of Heidi Diddly Day bits to get the point across. And I don't think that we would have been able to have that confidence or that foot in it to be able to have not relied on those kind of standby phrases and things like that.
Now, previously, you, Flogging Molly, hadn't really had much exposure in Ireland itself.
Not so much.
What is the response like now?
You know, it's been great. We haven't done a tour there of just of Ireland since the album came out, but we did a show in Dublin that was fantastic, and we played the O2 Festival over there, the Oxygen Festival, and that was really good too. But we're hoping this year to be able to get over there for a week or two and kind of do what we're doing in Canada over there and see how much has changed. The kids over there are not really big fans of traditional music, so when they hear that your band incorporates traditional music, they're immediately like, oh, that must suck.
We've grown up with that enough
exactly,
as it is.
Yeah. Oh, granddad's music. Yeah. Awesome. So they, I think they've been a little slow to come around, and then when they're exposed to it, they seem to like it a lot, but, you know, I think it's also that thing of, you know, like, Dave's the only guy from Ireland in the band, so a bunch of Yanks bring an Irish theme to music over there.
Yeah.
Not stepping on some toes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You recently had your album go gold.
Yeah, one of our older
albums. One of your older albums. Was that something that you expected to happen so soon, I guess? I mean, it's been taken
a
while.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. Yeah, it's been 4 years or something, but or 5 years. But I don't know. It's great to think that there's that many people that have our music. So, you know, I think anytime you can look at that and think that, you know, 500,000 people wanted to buy something that you did, it's a pretty good feeling. As far as like how I knew it would eventually happen, I didn't really have a time frame for it.
That's probably not something that's on the forefront of your mind. I'm sure you're not one of those people that just, you know, go online all the time to see the latest review and like just doing it for what it is.
Yeah, and it definitely, like, it feels great that happened, because there were so many people when we were starting this band up that were telling us like, no one's gonna ever listen to this crap and you'll never get it on the radio, and it's like, oh, it's Irish music, and, you know, have fun in your pubs and that, you know, you'll never play clubs, you'll never do any of this other stuff. So to have a gold record to wave in their faces is pretty good.
Like, hey, check that out.
Hey, remember us?
That album that went gold, 2002's Drunken Lullabies. For all those different places you've played, are there any places that you haven't had a chance to play yet that you'd really like to bring the Flogging Molly sound to?
Oh, there's tons of places we haven't been yet. And Iceland, we want to get over to Iceland and do a show out there. Most of Asia, we haven't only been to Japan. Mm-hmm. We'd like to get to China. You know, we'd like to get to Africa, South Africa. We've been trying to play in the Middle East and, you know, like at least get over to the troops or something over there and give those guys a break.
Yeah.
But there's so many more places for us to bring this stuff that it's just a matter of somebody wanting to open the door.
Yeah. No, I know it's always hard to answer this question, and whenever I start asking it, I always think, why the hell am I asking this? But for you personally, where was the most memorable show? Maybe not for the fans, but maybe something that meant more to you.
Well, I mean, just recently we did a show at Red Rocks, and I've been living in Colorado for the last 10 years or so in Boulder. And, I mean, aside from the fact that Red Rocks is just one of those legendary places, like, I grew up watching the U2 live at Red Rocks, yep, under a blood red sky. And, you know, just, it's one of those, you know, nationally known.
Just the place itself.
Yeah, if you live in America, you've always wanted to go see a show at Red Rocks. And so having it in my backyard for so long and having seen a couple of great shows there and stuff, and it was definitely, like, playing there was... it was like a big deal. And like we've been fortunate this year. We played the Greek Theater in L.A., which, growing up in L.A., that was like another...
very iconic.
Yeah, landmark kind of places. And when the first time we played the Wiltern Theater, it was the same thing. Like, I remember as a kid going to see bands at those venues and never in a million years thought at that time, like, oh, yeah, I'll be up there someday. You know, like, and so to be able to do that and be able to, like, take a minute in your head and just think about how long that road's been and how weird it's been to get you where
Definitely.
You are. It's a trip.
Now, I imagine Flogging Molly being what you are, you've probably played a lot of different Irish bars all over the place. Oh. Has anything stood out? I mean, it's obviously there's nothing that is going to have the same amount of connection as you guys have to Molly Malone's, but has there been anything that's been anywhere close to that?
Well, there's a pub that's like an old punk rock pub over in, or it just draws the punk rock crowd in Dublin, called the Foggy Dew. Mm-hmm. And that's been a really, like, whenever we're there, we'll go hang out at the Foggy Dew. It's been a really kind of like... simpatico kind of vibe there. Now it's kind of like there are a lot of great old little Irish pubs around, and you know, we'll stumble into one every once in a while, and some of them are brand new. Like there's one in Cleveland around the corner from the House of Blues called I can't remember the name of it offhand, but it's just like a great big room, you know, and they've got a couple of Irish things lying around, but they just serve good beer and good food, and
just overall
done with the show, we'll just bring some junk over and kind of like do a little traditional session with me and Matt and Dennis maybe, and have some fun, and that's a great place. But I mean, nowadays, like, they've kind of co-opted that whole, you know, they just cart a container full of crap over from Ireland that they took from some city that it was, you know, like, you know, mowed down and remodeled, and they all kind of look the same now, so it's a little sad.
Yeah, the true feeling within the clubs are just not there.
Yeah, I mean, Molly Malone's, like, it didn't look particularly Irish, except for that they had an Irish-American painter that had every square inch of that place had these paintings by this guy, and he's a brilliant painter. But, I mean, there's probably 50, 60 paintings just filling up the walls of this place, and then over the stage is a painting he did of Molly Malone, and it's like, you know, he's a fantastic painter, but you wouldn't go in there and look around and think, oh, it's, you know, like you would today where you go in and there's like, oh, it's a shillelagh on the wall and there's like, you know, a hand-carved Irish stump stool or all this other stuff. You know, it's just a pub and there were Irish people there and lots of beer.
Sometimes those are the best places to be.
Exactly.
Now, you guys have had a very strong relationship with Side One Dummy Records. Do you think that you guys would be where you are today without that that partnership between the two?
I don't know. It's hard to say, you know, like, well, I'm happy that we've had the kind of relationship that we've had all these years, and the guys, Joe and Bill, that run the label, and all the guys there, Eddie and John, that have been there kind of since we started with them. They've all helped us out. Thomas, the guy that does all our international stuff, and like, it's just such a family to us, and it's also nice knowing that, I mean, I think what would have happened had we been on a major label, that everybody we knew when we signed would be gone by now.
Yeah.
And we've never had to worry about that kind of thing. It's always been the guys who were, you know, who run the label, who write the checks, they're the guys we talk to when we discuss things.
And there's that strong belief within the band from the label, as opposed to just, okay, here's something that's going to fit in this.
Yeah,
this niche.
Absolutely. And you know, they're the first guys that would be like, look, you guys know what you're doing better than we do. You know, like, we can put your records in stores, and we can, you know, and Joe's got his radio show now in the States in a bunch of cities, so he's like, I can go, you know, shove this stuff into a record station, yeah, you know, a record store or a radio station, and say like, try this out until they break. But you know, like, it's nice to know that those guys are the guys in your corner, you know, and that, you know, they've been great for us, you know, and they've never ever thought of telling us what to do, or maybe you should push your music this way, you know. They're just like, you do what you do and we'll take care of the marketing.
Sounds like a great relationship.
Yeah.
You guys are a bit of a political band as well. You have that that side to you. Not as much as some of the other ones, but you were involved with
we're no anti-flag.
Yeah. You guys were involved with Punk Voter and Rock Against Bush. Mm-hmm. What is the most frightening thing to you personally about what's coming up around in world politics?
In world politics, I think it's just it's the same old thing that's been going on since the dawn of time, and that's just people get hurt, they get angry, and they try to kill each other. And, you know, I don't see that stopping anytime soon. Although, you know, as Dave says, it went on for as long as it went on anywhere in Ireland, and they finally managed to kind of put it beside. So there's hope. You know, you think if you can take that same principle, that set of principles, and move it around the planet, however they made it work in Ireland, they can make it work everywhere else.
We'll flip sides here. What's the most promising thing, be it with the new administration in the States or something else that you're seeing politically?
I think it's twofold. I think the first thing is that Americans are actually seeing and maybe learning to be held responsible for their actions. And not that, you know, like, losing your home is a great thing or anything, but the banks were only half responsible for signing crap loans, you know.
Yeah.
Like, people knew they were getting over their heads. And some people didn't, and, you know, God bless them. But I think the American public as a whole has kind of had its, like, you know, suck in their belt.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, he's a politician like everybody else, and he's got his agendas that are, you know, a far cry better than the Bush administration agendas. But, you know, I think if people pin their hopes on him solving the problem,
they're still pinning it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to take it into your own hands. And I think that they are more and more, like, I think more and more Americans are realizing that government is not, you know, the magic fairy wand, and that you've got to just get your feet in and dig in and, like, take care of your problems yourself, and hopefully take care of some, you know, government problems. Yeah,
take some ownership as well.
Yeah, exactly.
To what's going on. And that's not just America, that's globally.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, for humanity's sake, let's hope. Now, everyone has their distinct role musically within the band, but they also have something else that they bring to the band. You're known as sort of the MacGyver. What's been the best time that you've been able to come through with, you know, rigging something together?
It's been a while, just because now we've got a great crew that kind of handles all that stuff for us. But I remember in the early days, like, it would be, I'd be playing mandolin and an amp would blow up, and I'd have to, like, run across stage, like, rewire, like, figure out what's going on, get it going, and then try to finish out the song with the mandolin at the same time. And so I'd have it thrown over my back with, like, a soldering iron and thing. It's been a long time since I've had to pull that off, but it's but, you know, I've had to kind of jury-rig it. You know, I don't play with much finesse, and my instruments aren't particularly robust. You know, the banjo and the mandolin are pretty delicate things. So I've had to pull some, you know, some duct tape out of the back pocket midway through a show. Or I drop a strap all the time. One of my straps is snapping. I'm like, you know, like, pulling a cable tie out and having to rig it and try to finish the song out.
You do right what you get. Yeah, exactly. Right. I always like to ask bands, especially bands that have been around for the time that you've been around, obviously, it crosses generations. I mean, you can have kids bring their grandparents to the show. What kind of feeling is that for you? I mean, the style of the music as well really lends itself to that.
I think it's awesome. Like, we were playing in San Diego last month, and this woman came up to me. She's like, "Oh, it's my granddad's, dad's 75th birthday, and he wanted to come here for the show." I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." So I go over with her, and she's with her daughter, and her dad's there, and I said, "So your kids got you into this stuff?" And the granddaughter was like, no, grandpa got us into this."
Nice.
And I'm like, "Really?" And when I hear that, it's got to be the best thing, just because I don't think that there's any... I think anything you can do that can bring families back together and like and give them something to communicate with, it can't be a bad thing.
And there's been tons of great stories with your band and fans of the band that have had those stories where cross-generationally it's brought people together and the band together as well.
Yeah, it makes me very proud to be able to kind of accomplish that.
Now, another thing, bands that have been around a while, side projects start to emerge. Mm-hmm. Nathan Maxwell is doing his thing now. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee a lot of focus going towards these side project things, or is it something that just when there is that downtime, they'll go off and do their own thing, but the overall collective of Flogging Molly is still there and strong?
Yeah, I don't think that there's... I mean, we don't foresee an end to this anytime soon, but it's definitely... You know, the Flogging Molly sound is what it is, and we have a lot of different interests outside of that, so there's definitely like that kind of pull to, you know, we all do a lot of writing, and there's definitely that pull to kind of like have your own distinctive thing going on outside of that Flogging Molly sound. But I don't think, I mean, we all kind of have the agreement that like, we can all do what we're going to do, but we would never want it to take away from what has kind of like, put us out there in the first place.
I think that's a healthy relationship to have.
Yeah.
Any bands that you guys have been exposed to that you'd really like to maybe mention to the Punk Radio Cast listeners and viewers that they might not be aware of bands like this?
I think most people are probably more aware of what's going on out there than we are, just because, you know, our music has to come from like wherever we are on the road.
And, yeah.
And so it's difficult to kind of like get exposed to new stuff when you're just always out on the road. But, you know, most of who we've come in contact with have been guys, you know, like Reverend Payton and his big,
damn band,
and those guys, you know, we've played a festival show with them and took them on tour, and then they got on our label, and, you know, it's that kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, the Avett Brothers are a band that Dennis and I are really big fans of, and they just have a sound that's kind of like not like what a lot of other people are doing right now. And it's, you know, it's honest. I think that's kind of the quality in a lot of that music that draws us to it, is like if it has that like kind of honest legitimacy, that's what we're into.
Nothing prefabricated or...
Yeah. I mean, and you know, it can be produced. You can produce amazing music with tons of layers, but if your heart and soul isn't...
If the message isn't there, it's just a bunch of layers on nothing.
Exactly. Right? So, you know, there are guys doing, you know, phenomenal. You look at bands like Arcade Fire, and, you know, there's 36 things going on at once on that band, but, you know, they got the conviction to pull it off. So.
Yep. Well, anything else that you want to get out there before we wrap it up?
Oh, no, just thanks to everybody for coming out. We really appreciate all the support we've had over the years from everybody, and we'll keep doing it if you keep coming.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for your time.
No worry, man.
I hope you enjoyed Volume 63 of The Grind here on punkradiocast.com. I hope you have a good Halloween. I hope you don't get the H1N1 virus or the flu virus or hurt yourselves. Remember, look both ways before you cross the street. Don't run with scissors. Don't play with matches, or you might end up here in the garden. This is The Creep Show, on the show next week and on tour in Canada now. There's a dark, fading light in the garden where you lay your head tonight. Through the darkened hours, were you thinking of me? State of sleep is what you'd rather be. There's a pain.
cry, and don't you go now.